Hi there, this is Jonathan Winters, Ohio's answer to the Seven Dwarfs. Thanks for dropping into Wonderland. We have some unusual friends in the studio. There's the only girl who ever received a master's degree from Yale University in public speaking. Would you like to say a few words, Miss Darling? Thanks. You can always tell a Yale man. Here's Willard Winebluff, a good friend of mine who runs the only used pet shop in town. Any bargains today, Willard?
Yes, I got a special on a kangaroo. Came all the way from Australia. Fell off a flat car coming through Muncie and broke his tail. Result is he can't hop around like he used to. But we just prop him up against the wall and he can hold his own. It's sort of a conversation piece.
Poor devil. On the show today, we're going to meet Chester Parsley, the eminent authority. And then we'll go picnicking with a country family who wish they'd stayed home. And then we meet the most unforgivable character I ever met, Oliver Goozer. First, this message.
Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
Well, let's see. I'd like you to meet one of my friends right now. With Easter and egg rolling just around the corner, it seems like a good idea to have someone on to give us a few handy hints and tips on how to have a very colorful holiday. He's an authority on Easter. Welcome to Winter's Wonderland, Mr. Chester Parsley, LLD, PhD, NRA, and DDT.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's an extreme pleasure to come on with you and visit with your friends.
I was just telling the folks that you're an authority on Easter, Chester. That's kind of a funny little thing connotation there. Easter, Chester, Westchester. I'm sorry.
Don't play with my name.
What would you like to talk about today? I imagine you have some pretty tricky ways to color eggs and things like that.
Gracious, no, Jonathan. Coloring eggs is old hat. The thing I want to talk about is something new. We've been conducting tests in my laboratory for some time now on dyeing the fur of cute little bunnies.
You've been coloring Easter bunnies?
True. Green ones, blue ones, red ones. Just about every color that could possibly pop into your little itty-bitty head. Oh, I guess I'd better mention that our bunnies come in every color with the exception of just one. It just didn't work.
What didn't work?
I hasten to explain. You see, one of the kids in the lab thought it would just be a real peachy idea if we made our experimental bunny rabbit, a sort of terracotta color. You know, sort of a chocolatey brown. So to bring our experiment to a conclusion, we put Xavier in an Easter basket and surrounded him with eggs, jelly beans, and various candies and multicolored straw. Well, the next thing to do was our reaction check.
Your reaction check?
That's right. Next, we took the basket and placed it on the front porch of a little boy in the neighborhood, rang the doorbell, and then hid in the bushes to check his reaction as he came to the door and he saw the little brown bunny surrounded with Easter goodies in the wicker basket.
I get it. That's too bad. The little boy just didn't like the brown bunny.
Like him? Are you kidding? The little monster thought he was chocolate and ate him. No.
Well, thank you, Chester Parsley. It was nice having you on this program for an interview. Well, let's see here. I think with the coming of spring, a lot of people out there in Radio Land will be getting onto the bicycles and into the transportation of their choice and going to little rock piles or cascade areas, climbing down deep holes. Whatever they'll be doing, they'll be picnicking. I think we all love a great picnic. And this is the scene. A typical spring day. Dad's behind the wheel. There's Grandma, who's 89 years old. There's Lenny in the back seat, a 34-year-old clown, who is really mentally about six. The neighborhood kids, about 10 or 12 of them, baby Elizabeth, small 4-year-old child who's stuffed in the glove compartment over a sweaty Ohio map, and in the back, in the trunk, a conglomeration of dogs and cats, pets. Dad speaks first.
Well, Mom, we sure picked a beautiful day, didn't we?
Ah, come on with all that noise. I can see, and you can see as well as I can. Judas, priest, when are we going to stop the dad-blame car? We passed all the beautiful spots, all the green grasses. There's nothing but Gravel now and sand and rocks. No place to spread a blanket.
Yeah, when are we gonna...
Shut up, Lenny, and sit back and hold on to the kid. That's all you have to do. Is Baby Elizabeth still in the glove compartment? Yeah, she's still in there. Now, when are we gonna stop? Gee whiz, a lot of us are getting nervous, and we want to stop anyway, and you know why.
Mom, I don't know. Some people never die. They just linger on.
What was that about dying?
Nothing. Nothing, Mom. Nothing. We'll find a spot, don't we?
Well, when are we gonna stop?
Well, we've stopped, Mom, thanks to you. Put a curse on the car. I got a flat tire.
Well, everybody get out. Come on, Lenny, get your finger out of your ear. Grab some of them baseball bats and goodies and that thermos. Get a hold of the thermos, Dad. Oh, come on. Put your teeth back in your face. Come on, Dad, let's go. Where's the baby? Whatever. Somebody watch the child. It's grabbing a hold of that filthy chipmunk or groundhog, whatever it is. They scurried down that hole together. Somebody, don't touch it, Baby Elizabeth. You don't know where it's been. It's got terrible breath. Come here. Bobby, put that down.
I just play him. Gee! God, that thing hit me right in the forehead. Doggone hard ball. I've asked you not to play ball until we're set up for dinner.
All right, just playing, Ma.
He's a wonderful kid.
Oh, Lenny, shut up. Take your comic book and go on over there by that tree. Now, Dad, listen, put some stuff. Grab a hold of this blanket here and let's spread this on the ground. Lenny, what are you doing there under the blanket?
Well, just putting some film in the camera.
You ought to get rid of that terrible habit of just... Don't do that, Lenny. What are you doing now, Lenny?
Well, just wondering, there's an awful lot of paprika on them hard-boiled eggs.
Awful lot of paprika? That isn't paprika, those are red ants. You ain't been eating them, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, you poor devil. Oh, get away from the stuff. Bobby, what are you doing? You slid into second base and just covered the Boston cream pie. Now it's worth nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom, I was a...
You little devil, that'll teach you. Ow! Gee whiz, Mama, that's a hardball bat. There's another one. That'll put some sense in your skull and straighten your wig out a little. You're a sick old woman. That's another thing for calling me sick. You little clown, I'll stuff you in a tree and seal you up in it. You'll really get to know the groundhogs. Lenny, what are you doing over there by that tree?
Well, you know something, Mom? That's the funniest sight I ever seen. That's a football hanging from a tree, ain't it?
That ain't no football, Lenny. That's a hornet's nest. And don't touch that thing or they will be stung silly.
Well, let me take this stick and hit it.
Oh, no, I told you not to hit that thing. Those things are all over us. Now, get away from there, Lenny. It's stuck at Baby Elizabeth. Her head's 14 times its size. Poor little dear, you can't see her eyes. Ouch! Ouch!
You hear what she said? She uttered her first words.
Yes, I know that. And let's get out of here before the kid says anything else bad.
Here is a little thing I thought we'd take time out for on Winter's Wonderland. We've taken time out for so many things. It's entitled, "The Most Unforgivable Character I've Ever Met." The most unforgivable character I've ever met was Oliver Goozer, that's 00, of High Ridge, North Carolina. It was during the 1960 dog show at Madison Square Garden when the finalists were rounding the center track that Oliver Goozer did what he did. In your own words, sir, would you tell our radio audience what you did that fateful night at the dog show?
I'd be only too happy to. In the first place, I'm a cat lover. And I've always hated dogs. So the afternoon of the final day, I released over 130 alley cats. And you should have seen them dogs. They went crazy. Complete chaos set in. Beautiful sight, beautiful. But my biggest kick come during that final moment when the dogs was to receive their trophies. I released a whole cardboard carton of fleas. Well, sir, in a matter of seconds, there wasn't a dog in that dadblame garden that wasn't alive with fleas.
Trying to get over that.
And before the night was over, their trainers had to shave their dogs. And all the time,
This was going on, me and my cat sat up in the balcony and watched all them naked dogs.
Thank you. Well, I guess that pretty much winds it up for Winter's Wonderland. However, I always like to end the day with a... well, with a thought for the day. In this case, it's a poem. It's called The Jazzabar Tree. I like the smell of a jasmine tree. I like it with you. You like it with me. The scent of love, the coo of the dove. This is the life for the bumblebee. What time does the next bus leave for Boston? I like that.